best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
Maybe you should quit acting like a bitch.
You were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream link, go to like the DLFGS.org. And the IC channel is the LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1058 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Yep, me too.
And did Happy Boy make it in yet? No, he's not here.
Not yet.
So, yeah, we were talking about work-related stuff before. And updating and stuff like that. So that you'll have to listen to the post show for that coolness, unless somebody else brings it up later on. It's been a nice week. It's pretty warm up here, and I think it's been a full week since. Yeah, it is. I actually worked a full week since our last show. I had time off prior to that, but yeah, that's right. Cause I came back from going to the Korean spa on Wednesday last week. So I actually did some work at work for this week, which
crazy.
It was knocking stuff out, getting stuff ready to go for updates, having to wait for other things to be done before we can update. One of the problems that is kind of like, introduced with the new deployment method that we use for our story editor CMS has been is that before, when we were doing cherry picking on a separate branch, it allowed for only specific things to go into our pushes to production, but now it's whatever. You know, it's small because it's on the single branch, like all our other applications. If I merge my stuff in, that gets a new release. If somebody else merges their stuff in, you know, then it includes my stuff plus their stuff, and then that's a new release. So you just need to, you know, be cognizant of who's doing what and when it's going to get released, which is how we are with our other applications. But somehow, there was a big component that needed to get released, and so we're looking at version 240, and what was in production was like version 207. So I'm like, you do realize we're pushing like what 33 versions that have been, you know, since the last one that went to production, which is part of the course because there's been a lot of activity and this whole new deployment process, getting up to speed. It was kind of like we were at the halfway point for a lot of some of this stuff going in there. So hopefully going forward from this, which seemed to be really successful, like, one of the things that perplexes us and plagues us is, and it's been this way since the start of a lot of our applications that are being web-based, we tend to have a problem on the client-side caching where changes may not work properly or look right because of cached files on the client side. And so the general go-to for the first steps of resolution is to clear the cache on the browser or go in incognito mode and try it. And then if it works in incognito mode, it's pretty much guarantee that if you cleared a cache on your browser, it should fix the problem. And try as we might, we have not been able to completely nip that problem in the bud. So yesterday night when they did the deployment for the new modal window that incorporates other applications functionality into our story editor. So before, I guess, when you wanted to, you know, for searching images and stuff like that to include, we've kind of revamped that into a modal window. And these are two separate, two separate environments. So like a lot of our application suite is in one environment, and then the CMS, the story editor, is in VIP's environment. So making that flow seamlessly together is a little bit of a challenge, and you deal with a lot of security issues that you have to be cognizant of. And of course, because they're in different domains and stuff that you need to be aware of. So they finally got something a little more seamless working, and it was very odd that for certain people, they would go in on production, and then all of a sudden that window that popped up should be like almost the full size of the screen, but it looked more like it was being condensed down into a mobile sized window. And everything was kind of like jammed and disjointed looking, and it looked like it was falling apart. And of course the solution for that was just clear your browser cache, but why it happened, we're still trying to figure out. And unfortunately this was done like 8 o'clock last night. Now, of course, that's not really a late deployment for most people, but, for those of you who have to do shit like that at like 3 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's a whole different story. So this was 8 o'clock, and nobody really wanted to be spending a heck of a long time dealing with it. But when it was realized, you know, hey, here's the problem, it's a fairly simple fix. It only seemed to affect two people. I was one of them, and I should have not fixed it so we could have explored it a little better. Another guy had it happen. Interestingly enough, he was using Brave. I was using Chrome. Another person was using Safari. And it was tested on Firefox. So it seemed to work fine for everybody, but he in particular was having problems with it just not cooperating. And I don't even know if it was still having a problem after he cleared his cache, but I went to verify that it wasn't an issue with like Chromium, because I think Brave uses Chromium, on the underneath, not the Google build of Google Chrome. So I went and downloaded Chromium, and sure enough, I had no problems right out of the box. Vivaldi, no problems. Firefox, no problems. My Chrome initially had the problem, but I cleared my cache, and voila, it was working fine. Actually, I didn't clear my cache. Interestingly enough, I went in an incognito mode, and it worked fine. And then when I went back out of incognito mode, it was working fine. So go figure. I don't know. That kind of perplexes. We're trying to solve that problem. And it's hard because you can't solve it unless you have it happening to somebody. And if you solve the problem, then you can't like try and figure out what caused the problem. So we were looking for somebody else that might have that problem, and somebody did come across as having that issue. And when, support reached out to them to see if we could if they were available, that we could do a session together to just maybe look and see what was going on. They said no, they weren't available, and that was the last of it. So unfortunately, we're probably not going to fix this one, know exactly what's causing it. We'll just have to wait for the next one.
Were they running the Brave browser too?
No. They were, I don't know, but I suspect that they were probably running Google Chrome. Cause that's what we tell the main end users. They should be using Google Chrome. That's the one that we specifically support, even though all of us are running different browsers and it works in all the other browsers too, but they settled on Google Chrome. And that's what the newsrooms deal with, just to make it simple. So we'll have to see. It is, like I said, it's not something we haven't experienced in the past, but we still haven't been able to fully figure out why is it only sometimes, you know, what is it that is being cached on the browser side that we need to figure out a better way to control or expire to solve these problems. So there was that, that was, you know, a little fun to look into. This was a weird thing that came up today. So going on over a month ago, I took on the project to update the commenting feature plugin in WordPress. It is a third party plugin that has enhanced, commenting capabilities. If you're not familiar what that is that, I guess, kind of like a word processing document. You might be familiar with doing this. If multiple people are working on something, or, you know, you have that relationship between a journalist and an editor come in and make comments on the document, and then the journalist could respond to those or say, oh, you know, whatever, I clean that up, and they could check off those comments. And so the commenting feature plugin had stuff that was not available in standard WordPress, and that was hotly desired, which we have been using for a few years now. And it has sometimes caused issues with our modifications of WordPress. And it's also, it's slow to update, so they've kind of been not necessarily conformed to the best practices, which kind of causes issues with other tools that we use for checking for best practices. Needless to say, it seemed to work fine, right? The commenting plugin was working fine. And, I have the PR up there for review, and one of the guys I work with finally got to me. He's like, you know, did you notice that when you have the new commenting plugin running that stories that get embargoed fail? Like they won't come out of embargo. And so what embargo is that instead of when it comes time to publish a story, instead of publishing it, you can set an embargo on it that says you can't publish this story until this date and time, right? Sometime in the future. And sure enough, when I tested it again, I did notice that when the time passed, it still was embargoed. And I'm like, that's weird. So I reverted the plugin to the old version, and it still would not unembargo. So I went over to development. So this is all local. I went over to the development branch, and it didn't seem to unembargo right away, but it did eventually unembargo. So like, I'm like, okay, for some reason it's not working. What is the problem here? And come to find out is that the way that the embargo works is that we put in a schedule. It's like, so WordPress has a cron called WP cron. So WordPress has a cron, but it's not actually a cron application. Like it's not a service that runs like on your computer. Cron, you have a cron daemon of some sort, Anacron or, whatever cron is installed. And then what that does is the daemon runs, and so you have things that are set up to run at certain periods of time. Maybe it's once a day, maybe it's once an hour, maybe it's once a month, whatever. You can set up your own schedules, certain days of the week, whatever you want to do. But the way that WordPress's cron works is that it doesn't have a actual, like, daemon that checks to see when things run. It just runs on whenever there's a page load, it checks for any scheduled activities, right? And so if there is a scheduled activity that is supposed to have run, it will then run that activity, right? So if you have a busy site that is being hit like a lot, and RCMS is one, then that's going to run those scheduled jobs fairly regularly, or when they should be. Like, in the case of the embargo, once the embargo time has passed, you should see that be ready to be published pretty quickly, since there's a lot of activity. But come to find out that somehow, and we can't figure out how they did it, but on the VIP development tool that we have switched to using, cron is disabled. So there's a parameter or a global that you could set called disable WP cron. And if you do that, that prevents WordPress from running and executing scheduled jobs every time a page is loaded, right? Doing that check. But it doesn't prevent you from being able to manually hit the right page with the right parameter to run the cron jobs, right? So all you have to do to run cron jobs in WordPress is hit the WP cron page, wpcron.php, with, and you pass the query string, do underscore WP underscore cron, I think is what it is, or doing WP cron. And then it should fire it off. Now, that's one of the solutions that they propose if you don't have a busy site, but you need to have things run on somewhat of a schedule, that you have some other cron service that you're using. Just make a curl call to that, and voila, you're good to go, right? So I made a call to that and hit that page, and it still wouldn't run. So I'm trying to figure out what they did to disable it. I was digging through their code, both in the containers, in the configurations, and in the tool that sets it up, and I still can't figure it out. I did reach out to them to ask. Now, they have a pull request that hopefully will go in soon that enables cron to be run, but it's currently disabled. So that was what was preventing the embargoes from being unembargoed properly, not the commenting plugin, but that was a fun thing to track down. And did I hear? I knew I heard Joel. I heard Joel try to chime in there. I heard them lip smacking. Did you hear them lip smacking, Nate? I heard that lip smack. I heard that.
I've been having ever since I went in. I've been having an issue with the. You know how we had the audio dropouts like not too long ago? I'm having that, and I may end up switching back to a Manjaro just because it's being a pain and I'm in my butt.
Are you on the wrong microphone?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's on the one that's recording. That's the wrong microphone, Joel. You should be on the one that's not recording. Look at that, he dropped out again. He's on the right mic now.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you using? Are you back to Ubuntu again? Hello? Dave, what happened?
I don't know.
Did they get him? What happened to Joe?
Who?
Oh, see, Joe's. What happened to Joel?
I'm here.
All right. Well, we're waiting for. I was waiting for you to follow up.
He asked you if you're using. Are you back on Ubuntu?
No. Yeah, I'm still on Ubuntu. Yeah.
So let me get this right. The last time you used Ubuntu, there were problems. Then you switched to Manjaro, there was no problems. Now you're back on Ubuntu,
and there's
problems.
I wouldn't say there was no problems.
You have to be the oldest distro hopper I know.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nah.
Boss is older than him.
I hop all the time. It
really?
Doesn't bother me, yeah. Yeah, keep in mind, I don't put a whole lot on here because I don't need a whole lot because it already has everything I need.
Do you listen to Distro Hopper's Digest?
Yeah, I install three things. I install Chrome, I install Mumble, and I install HexChat, and that's about it.
I mean, if I had a podcast where I was reviewing distros, I would hop, but
Well,
it's
Moss
so weird.
Started the podcast because he was a Distro Hopper.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. I'm going to reboot because I just did some updates.
Uh-oh. Oh, look at that. What is he? He's actually running OS 10 over there, right?
Right.
No, he's running Windows. No. OS 10 would still work, but it would keep telling you you need to restart, and then it would never work. Never restart properly. Yeah.
Instead of just restarting, he's going to, you know, nuke and pave.
There you go.
I'll be right back.
Come back. So what else is, what are you guys up to, man? I did an update. There we go. That's it.
I've been waiting for a Nextcloud update. I think I told you last week or sometime that
is that all you live for anymore, Dave?
No.
You're always looking to update that thing.
No, there was a reason this time. I installed this, Memories app, which is like a better photo suite app for Nextcloud. And the feature that intrigued me, which, you know, you can take your Google Takeout, all your Google photos, you can download them through Google Takeout. Well, Google puts the metadata in this weird format, and most third-party or non-Google photo apps can't read that metadata, so that there's a script that migrates your Google Takeout, and it wasn't working at all. But the new version of Nextcloud 29.03, which came out yesterday, fixed that. So that was good.
That's gonna solve all your problems?
Well, no, it solved one problem, but I don't have many. But it solved that one.
All the mental ones are still there.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I got a new problem. I just discovered I was going to just put in a plug for the Joplin Web Clip extension. Before Google Notes or Google Keep, there was what, Google Notebook? Was that what it was called years ago? I loved it because you could just highlight something in a web browser and send it to your Google Notebook, and you could easily save text or links or anything. And Joplin has a web clip extension. It's just a web clip notebook in Joplin that you can do the same thing with. And I use it all the time, and I love it. But I sat down at this computer and tried to do that on this Firefox on this computer, and it says that the web extension isn't – what's it saying? It's saying – error, could not connect to Joplin application. Please ensure that it's started and the Clipper service is enabling the configuration. Well, I run Joplin on my Arch Linux laptop in the other room, and I can access it through my phone. I can share stuff with Firefox on this computer and the one beside it. I can't for some reason, so I got to troubleshoot that.
Yeah, I think it could be. I don't know if this is for Wayland tricks or something. Well, I also got to remember, too, I think Ubuntu enabled Pipewire instead of Pulse Audio.
Oh, Pipewire. We're using Pipewire, aren't we, Dave, on Arch?
I'm using Pulse.
You're still using Pulse?
Hey, Pulse Audio, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still using it. It's not broke.
Not broke, don't fix it, right?
I'm using PipeWire.
I've thought about it, but
interesting.
I think when I installed Arch, Pulse was. Well, I guess I installed Pulse. I didn't think to install PipeWire. So.
It goes back to an article I read this week about somebody seemed to changing the default to Wayland. I'm like, oh, that's a mistake. It ain't ready yet. I mean, it's not.
Most,
you know,
distros
too many
are,
things that don't work.
Most distros are sliding towards Wayland.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and I think it's too early myself.
It's only been, you know, around for, what, a decade?
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't think it's right. Well, I don't think it's anything wrong with Wayland itself. I think it's the fact developers still, there's still applications that don't work well on it.
Yeah. Well, X-Wayland has come a long way.
Yeah.
So... X-Wayland will hopefully bridge that gap until applications run better on Wayland.
Hey, my guess, and I could be completely wrong about this, is it's older Linux users that are slow to migrate to Wayland.
Yep.
Is that you, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, I prefer X, honestly, just because, you know, like X2Go works on X.
Right.
Screen sharing.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many things that obscure old things and just obscure things that run on X, but I'm not sure they run on Wayland yet.
Well, and here goes, how long did it take us to go from X386 to X.org?
Yeah.
A long time.
Woo! Ain't that the truth?
I would say that was close, wasn't that close to probably 20 years, is my guess. I don't know. X386. I almost don't even remember how to configure it anymore.
I remember having to configure it to get hardware acceleration and games working. That was fun.
Or potentially misconfiguring it and burning up your monitor.
Yeah. That happened to Murph, didn't it? I think Murph actually destroyed
the
monitor.
Good question.
I think it was Murph.
That must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, right?
Long time ago.
Yeah, it had moons back then.
I remember being afraid of that, though. I mean, I had a huge ViewSonic, you know, CRT. The thing probably weighed 100 pounds, and it was brand new. And I remember thinking, I'm going to blow this up because I was trying to get a NVIDIA card or AMD, some kind of card working with it. And I remember thinking, I'm going to blow this up. My wife ain't going to let me get a new one.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember being excited by 32-inch CRTs.
Yeah.
Damn bitches were heavy. I did finally find somebody posted the same issue that I'm seeing somewhere on Mumble, where basically what happens is like Dan's icons will drop out. Mine'll, like, every time I hit the pitch to talk, I'll still see me light up, but you guys can't hear me and I can't hear you. That's what happens. It's weird. Didn't happen last week.
Now, I have accidentally run Wayland. I mean, and if I was going to run Wayland, it would be on one of these Debian machines where I'm running Plasma. But I've accidentally started a Wayland KDE session, and everything worked, but I got right out of it and switched back to the X.
It's not like maybe it's time for me to start looking at a different router, because I saw somebody reported similar issues to what I was seeing, and they haven't had a firmware update for my router since for a couple years now.
You're running factory firmware on it?
Yeah, but it's a Asus router, so it's based on whatever. It's an open source router. I can't remember which one, and whether it's OpenWRT or something else.
I think it's called Voxel is the firmware I'm running on my.
See, I have a mesh router on mine.
Yeah, I'm running Voxel. The name of it for my. I think I got a Nighthawk X10 or something. I've had it a while. It's a good router. I think it's got a quad core processor. I mean, you can run Plex on it, but I don't.
Yeah.
Well, vacation starts Saturday for me.
Where you going? Down
Hershey.
Yeah, Hershey, that's right.
Pennsylvania.
I'll be leaving, I think, the week from Saturday is when I'm leaving for vacation.
Aren't you on vacation all the time?
Technically, I guess, but not really.
So he'll be going on holiday.
Yeah.
As opposed to taking a vacation. Yes.
Now, my wife's still working, so it's a vacation for her. Therefore, it's a vacation for me.
There you go. Where are you going?
St. Augustine.
Ah, Florida. When are you going to move down there?
No, we're not.
Yep.
When are you going, Dave?
Week from Saturday, I think.
You're going to be back by Wednesday, right?
No, I'll be gone a week.
You're going to miss the show just to go to St. Augustine?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
My wife needs a vacation.
Oh, is that it? That's the reason. Your wife needs a vacation.
Oh, yeah. She does. She, like I said, she's still working.
Are you taking the kids, too, so you can continue babysitting?
No.
What are they going to do without you, Dave?
Well, we took them on the last vacation. We're not taking them on this one. So.
Wait, you went to Florida last vacation,
really a
vacation,
right? Yeah. If you take the kids?
Sort of.
Depends on which kids. If it's the bad ones, no. Dun, dun, dun. So you're going to Hershey next week?
Yep.
And you're coming back when?
Technically, we're coming back on the 5th.
Okay. Yeah, Hershey, I know the amusement park is.
Oh, crap. That's right. I'm not going to be here next week either.
Uh-oh.
Dun, where are you going to be? I'll be here next week.
Take a show off.
Dave, I'll be in your country, man. I'll be in South Carolina.
There you go.
I'll be in Chester, South Carolina.
I'm sorry.
So am I.
It's going to be hot.
That's still like 2 hours away from you, isn't it?
Yeah, easy.
You know what I did see? So we're going on... We're leaving Wednesday and we're coming back Saturday. Sonny's will be down there for 4th of July in the ass end of nowhere with, you know, we're not going to see fireworks. That's just the way it goes, you know? But what's interesting is they used to do fireworks here on the fort. And like a couple years in a row, they burned the barge down that they shoot them off of. Like the one year they just set them off by accident. They all got set off at once and it was an amazing like 30 seconds. And then that was it. But usually it was a good thing. But ever since like COVID, they haven't done them here anymore. And now they're not doing fireworks in Hampton. They're going to be doing a drone show.
Oh,
drone thing.
What's
that'd
that?
Be cool, but I can't imagine this is better than fireworks. I mean,
I guess it's, you know, obviously they're not going to be exploding, but they just had like one picture which looked like this big American flag in the sky, I guess made up of all drones. So I would really like to see it. The wife would like to see it, but we're not going to be here to see it, which is unfortunate.
And there's no fireworks you can in driving distance. At, where are you going to be in Chester? Sure, there's got to be.
Dave, I'm surprised Chester even has a lighter to set anything off. Yep. You know?
Hey, in Ohio, I can buy my own fireworks right at the any store now. They have real ones.
Oh, we can pay. Yeah,
not sparklers.
We've had fireworks here for years.
Yeah, you could do that in South Carolina. We could buy our own fireworks. And we that was done. Like, my brother-in-law bought a bunch of fireworks one time. You just got to be careful you don't set the field on fire.
Hey, when I was in fourth grade, I traded a frog, a bullfrog, in a quart mason jar for 2 M80s and brought them home as a fourth grader and threw them in a bucket, a five-gallon bucket of water, because I'd heard they had dynamite fuses that would burn underwater. And they did.
Boom.
Wait, what did you burn down?
I didn't burn anything down.
No. Oh.
Now, we had bottle rocket fights. We'd get, tent post, aluminum, hollow aluminum tubes, and put the bottle rockets in them and light them and shoot them at each other.
Until you get hit in the nuts, right?
Nah, we if you got hit in the eye, that sort of like, well, we better stop kind of thing. But
that put a stop to things at least for a little while.
Yeah, for a little while.
You got hit in the eye?
I didn't, but a friend of mine did. He's fine.
It didn't blow up in his ever. Eye. It just like hit him in the eye, and then
it hit very, very near his eye.
He gets to pretend to be a pirate every Halloween.
What's the dumbest thing you ever did with fireworks?
Held one in my hand while somebody. No. I let one blow up in my hand one time.
As long as your hand is open, that's fine.
No, it was between two fingers, and it felt just like somebody got a hammer and hit both fingers as hard as they could. I mean, it just throbbed.
I thought you were going to tell us that, you know how you make flavored suppositories. Well, guess what you did with an M80. So what kind of firework was it that you had in your finger? Was it just
just a regular, you know, the regular, cat. Yeah, exactly. Still,
do you set fireworks off in your open hand, Joe?
No.
Oh. I thought you knew from experience.
No, it's just, you know, a matter of physics. I mean, if you light a freaking firecracker and your hand is open, most of the force is going to go outwards.
Yeah.
If you light a firecracker and your hand is closed, guess what? They're going to be calling you Stumpy.
If you ever buy those shells and the mortars, those things are the most dangerous things there are, because that cardboard tube, you might get five shells, but that cardboard tube lasts for one.
Well, you know, shooting bottle rockets at each other is, you know, not all that bright, but that would be way worse with Roman candles.
Yeah, we do Roman candles too, yeah.
Because those things will stick.
Yeah, and Roman candles, you know, it's like having a semi-automatic. You know, with a bottle rocket, you got to stop and light it and then aim. With a bottle rocket, you light it once and you just wave that thing around and point it at everybody. I was a teenager, so I mean, I had a license to do this.
Right, you were young and dumb.
Yeah. Now, my first job out of college, I worked at a mayonnaise and salad dressing plant, and we were the sole makers of Hidden Valley Ranch, which is owned by Clorox, which is, I think, headquartered in Oakland. But one of the guys from the Clorox company came out to our plant. He was there a week. We were running a pilot or something. But he made fireworks for the city of San Francisco and was one of their people. You know, their big 4th of July celebrations, but he could make fireworks out of almost anything. I mean, we were, like I said, a mayonnaise and salad dressing plant, and he found materials in our plant he could make fireworks out of. And he made some out in the parking lot.
Were you there when he did it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The guys that can make, fireworks out of anything they find under your kitchen sink, those guys are dangerous.
Yeah, well, this guy probably qualified. His name was Don Woods, just like the record producer.
Oh, it's 8:30.
What does that mean?
Nothing. I was just checking the time.
You got more working out to do, man.
Yeah, I do. I got to move those weights back and do at least one more set, probably two. That's drop set after drop set after drop set, and then take a break. But I didn't work out yesterday, and I didn't work out the day before because I worked so damn late.
That sucks. I've been trying to get as much extra time on the trail as I can because I can't do a longer trail this week.
I've been doing two in the morning. Go ahead.
As I say, I've been doing two in the morning and two in the evening.
I've been doing about 1.5 in the morning and about, wow, on the weekend I did 3.5, but I've been doing 2.5 at night. So, but I've done, I think, 12 days in a row now.
Good for you. Yeah, all I got tomorrow is my boot camp. I got to get...
Dropped out again, I think.
Got to get what?
Back on Monjaro.
Yeah, no kidding.
That tears it. I'm going to put Manjaro back on here. Damn.
So you replaced Manjaro with Ubuntu.
Well, I just wanted to see what the latest Ubuntu was looking like. That's all.
A little snappy.
It's not that, I mean, other than this little minor issue, it's not that bad. And it wasn't, it hasn't been an issue. It's just worse.
Well, I was making a pun about it being all snaps.
Oh, well, yeah, stupid snap packages.
I didn't get it either.
Well, I hardly ever think of that because I usually try to avoid the fucking snaps.
Yeah, but can you avoid snaps with a new Ubuntu?
Not entirely, no.
Not without doing a whole lot of manual work.
Well, if you go to the drop down the command line and hit, like, app install mumble, then it's going to get the package one, not the snap one.
Okay. Why not get Linux Mint? Give it a try. Or Garuda.
What's Garuda?
It's Arch.
Yeah, it's Arch based.
Oh. It's heavyweight.
Yeah, Manjaro is, yeah.
It comes
with Garuda.
Not even that heavy either.
It comes with a dragon wallpaper.
Yeah.
It's made for gaming.
Yeah. I think the only Arch derivative I've ever run was Endeavor. I didn't replace Arch with it. I put it on another machine. And it was just like...
You haven't run Manjaro?
No.
You should either try Manjaro or Garuda.
It's really good.
I'm perfectly fine with Arch. I thought I was settled on Debian for years, and I ran Debian instead on my daily driver, and I just switched to Arch 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm very, very, I'm more happy with it than I ever was Debian Sid. But I run Debian stable on everything else. But.
Well, if you do a fresh install on something, try out either Manjaro or Garuda.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Nuke and Pave your primary.
I'll keep that in mind.
Mm-mm-mm. 220 pounds for leg extension.
Don't. Do you ever watch those videos when people are doing? No, not leg extension.
I actively avoid those. And
that's not leg
press.
Extension. Yeah, leg press. Oh.
Yeah, I avoid those. And Joel tried to send me one of those, and I just noped right out of it.
No,
I don't watch those.
No,
nah, I don't like to see people get hurt.
Oh my goodness.
I also know better than to fully lock out on freaking leg extension too.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I had a friend who tried, who was doing leg extension, who had a tendency to lock out on stuff, and we kept telling him, don't screw yourself up pretty bad if you keep doing that.
No, I've done some of the research, and it turns out that usually only happens to people with, like, loose tendons anyway. But I'm still not going to,
chance it. I might attempt that. That's a one-way ticket to no good. Get out of here.
The thought of it.
Hey, Joel, these trails you're walking, are they bike trails? Are they multi-use, or are they just walking trails?
Walking trails, mostly.
Okay.
There's a couple multi-use.
I'm walking this really cool bike trail, and there's three different loops. They're stacked loops, so they don't intersect each other, and they're differing difficulties. But they've got it set up. They're all loops where even days everybody's supposed to go clockwise, and odd days everybody go counterclockwise. And I went this evening, and there was like five or six bikers on the trail, and they were all going the wrong direction, which didn't bother me, but I just thought nobody pays attention to this. But if anybody was going to, I think it'd be the mountain bikers, not the hikers. But I just wonder if you'd ever run into that. I think the purpose is to make the trail flow better if everybody's going the same direction.
Yeah, there's the one longer one I'm thinking about doing. It's an equestrian trail. You know, like danger on that is you got to watch out for the horse shit.
When's your marathon?
The Mammoth March is August 3rd, so it's a little bit over a month.
Are you on track?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can do 10 and feel like I can do more.
Yeah, they say if you can do half, you can do double that one time.
right. Yeah. Well, and for me, it's mostly a time thing, time constraint. I did a 10-mile hike like a week or two ago, but on Juneteenth is when I did it. All right. But Mexico was on a call for us. I wanted to make sure I was there just in case something happened because I was her secondary. Otherwise, I've gone like about 15.
Yeah.
Hey, Joel, is Ubuntu GNOME-based? Or GNOME-based?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Sock, Ubuntu, GNOME 3, yeah. Yeah, but you can get the other flavors, Ubuntu Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ubuntu.
Yeah, I think Cinnamon is an official one now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything's better than DWM. Remember that? Tom's window manager.
Oh, man. I missed that.
I thought you said DWM. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, TWM's.
TWM is essentially what is it you're using, Dave?
What? I3, know it?
Yeah, it's just I3.
No.
I3 is just TWM with a different colored screen, right?
TWM was part of X386, right? I mean, that's what came out of the box with it, but.
Yeah. Is TWM still available?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't have it. It's not.
What was the Windows 95 looking one?
What happens if you try and run? Oh no, another window manager. I could get close out of my system and run TWM. That would be cool, right?
Yeah.
Run two window managers at the same time.
Or yes. Run off them.
Yes, TWM was just, oh god, that was a chore to work with.
The file name is actually in the Arch extra repository, XOR-TWM.
FEWM. Remember that?
FEWM. I loved FEWM too. That was
and
awesome.
FEWM 95.
Yeah. But that was a time sink, sure enough. I mean, because you could make it do anything, but it just. I mean, you didn't have to recompile it like you do DWM. But.
Wow, FEWM's not in the Pac-Man repositories.
What?
FEWM's not in the repositories.
Yeah, it is. There's FEWM3, FDWM. FEWM
How come when I do Pac-Man search, it's not there?
Because it's in the AUR.
I meant the proper, not the AUR.
Oh, no, it's not the proper. It's in the AUR.
Is there FEWM3?
Yeah,
when did that come out? Oh, wow, it was just updated a little while ago. In March of 2024?
Yeah, I've not heard of FEWM3.
I'm gonna install that mother right now.
or Enlightenment.
Enlightenment's still being developed.
It is. Version 0.26.
I think Plasma 6.1 was released last week, I think, and it's most of the new stuff in it is Wayland related.
All I need to do is the only dependency I'm missing is ASCII Doctor. Which is an implementation of ASCII Doc in Ruby. Which is going to install fucking so much Ruby crap.
Your existing FEWM2 configuration will work with FEWM3.
Well, I need to have the latest and greatest, Dave, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm tempted to install it, but I won't use it. I won't go back to a floating window manager, but.
What?
I won't do it.
How come it's not? How come it tells me that libxt is not found, but yet I have it installed? What kind of crap is this? Sorry,
not
go ahead.
Not me.
What I don't like is there's no screenshots on their GitHub page.
I gotta work on this. I can't do that during the show. I won't pay attention. I'll have to do it when I'm working out tomorrow. Trying to figure out why it won't install.
Oh, you're gonna run FEWM3 before you do I3.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, do I even have I3 installed?
I3 manager.
No, I don't.
Remember Crash Bang?
Yeah.
Crunch bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like there's a ton of shit I need to install for i3, isn't there?
i3-WM is what you install.
Or you can just download the i3 ISO from Manjaro. Redo everything.
That's always driven me crazy. And Ubuntu was the first one to do it. And Joe mentioned, you know, flavors a while ago. A different ISO for a different desktop environment or a different window manager to me is just never made sense. When you can just install it, you know. It's like,
yeah, but there's a lot of customizations that go into the flavors.
Yeah.
Put your own customizations on, of course, but if you don't want to, try out the flavor.
It's one of the things I love about Arch is everything is vanilla. You're getting no customizations. You're getting, you know.
Probably eat your chicken boiled, too.
That's chicken breast.
Boiled, thank you, right?
I've had boiled chicken before, but 9 times out of 10, it's fried or roasted or grilled. But I mean, my mother-in-law's is fried.
Sans spice.
I saw a recipe for salmon I'm going to have to try. It's Mike's Hot Honey Glazed Salmon.
Ugh. I like salmon, but I don't want no honey on it.
Why not?
I don't like sweet on meat.
Sweet on meat.
I'm even careful.
I gotta pull that out and just cut out. I like sweet on meat.
I knew when I said it that was gonna happen.
Oh man.
There I found my event toy disc.
FBWM3 looks nice. I'm looking at the images. Just did an image search for it. Not sure what toolkit it uses, but I mean, it's pretty.
Which one? What?
FVWM3. That's one of the things I loved about FVWM way back in the 90s was that when you minimize the app, you would have like a, I don't think it was a live screenshot, but it would take a miniature screenshot of that app and put it on your desktop. That wasn't a bar, but there were, you know, individual thumbnails of all your open windows that you'd minimized. But I wasted a lot of time configuring FVWM back in the day.
I wasted a lot of time trying to get wobbly windows to work, and now I don't give a shit about them.
Yeah, I remember those days.
You can still do that in plasma real easy. I'm pretty sure I do not have that enabled. Nope, mine don't wobble.
I just use my Mac when I want to see wobbly crap.
I might have to install that FVWM3.
See, the only question is, do I install Mantra with XSCE or Cinnamon? Because I have both.
CDE, I like that desktop environment. Or that work, the window manager, excuse me. Did you ever run CDE, Dan?
It's been a long time. Common desktop environment?
Yeah.
CDE.
Wow, it's been so long. Too long. Do they even have it anymore?
I think I think somebody's done it. I don't know. It's not maintained, but
common desktop environment. It's on SourceForge. Last update, June 3rd.
I don't see it in Arch. Oh, but there's a wiki, there's an Arch wiki page about it. Oh yeah, just install C Desktop ENV. It does, yeah, it's there. And it was last updated March 1st, 2023.
There's an article on its FOSS on trying CDE on the modern Linux.
Yeah, I think I saw that a couple of weeks ago. All right.
I'll pass. I didn't like it when I had to use it.
It's ugly. I liked it because I had a Solaris machine. Was that
Solaris,
what it's called?
Yeah,
Solaris, yeah.
Or SunOS. Oh, XSC was a fork of CDE. I did not know that.
I didn't either. Oh, wait, yeah, XFCE. I thought you said X-free. I knew that, cause the, if you, early versions of the XFCE, the bar at the bottom was, the pager especially was just like it. I mean, except it used GTK, but.
Enlightenment, not the current version, but the prior version had the coolest looking themes. Current version, they have some decent looking ones, but nothing like it was back in the day that we really all were all about theming your desktop. Now I just want it to fucking work.
The only thing that I guess I do with i3 is I run PyWall. And it just changes my console colors to match my wallpaper.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to have to get a new battery for this laptop. It's not charging still. And I opened it up and it's not puffy yet. But it'll
I
get
like
there.
Sweet on me. Oh, not cool.
What?
Not cool.
wait, which one is better?
I like sweet on meat.
I like sweet on meat.
I like sweet meat.
which one, Dave? Which one?
Both.
I'm not even gonna say because
he likes flavored suppositories.
You gotta pick the making air quotes right one anyway.
I'm gonna play them all. There we go. See,
meat sweet.
I'd like sweet meat. I'd like sweet on meat. I'd like sweet on meat.
Oh Jesus.
I've said that, you know, before in conversations with people because I don't like steak or chicken or any meat that's got a sauce on it that makes it sweet, like sweet and sour chicken. I hate it.
Oh man, you hate sweet and sour chicken?
I can't stand it. And like the only Chinese food, like, well, like, what is it, it's not PF Chang's. It's a chain. It's a Chinese chain, but everything on that menu is sweet. And
like China Bistro or
something like that, but I don't like it. And people will say why, you know, especially sweet and sour. And it's just like, and this could be another soundbite. I've said this out loud in front of people. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth, and I don't like it.
Juxtaposition. But you like barbecue, and that's sweet meat.
No, I like the vinegar based or mustard, as long as there's no honey in it. I like heat.
He likes the darker meats in his mouth.
I like putting.
I want pepper or spice or heat or mustard or vinegar. I don't want tomato, nothing sweet.
Well.
You gotta be kidding me.
Sweet meat.
Honest to goodness.
Alright. It's almost 10.
No, you got 6 minutes. What are you yawning for over there?
Yeah, Dan's busy doing damage. He didn't want to quit yet.
He's compiling shit. Everyone remembers the show where Dan dropped the stream because he's compiling a kernel.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day when we were using butt.
I still use butt to this day.
Broadcast using this tool.
Yeah. I know, what is it you use, Dan? It's the
what? For what?
To send the stream.
Right now?
Yeah, the command line tool. What is it you're using?
Oh, Dark Ice?
Dark Ice, that's it, yeah. I'm an Icecast server, but I have two streams. You know, one's the modcast that I do. The other is, you know, for personal use. I rebroadcast a radio station. And I use Butt for both of those. But
remember Dynamolic?
Oh, yeah, man, what are you running still, Butt on?
Debian? I got it running on two machines. Streaming to the same Icecast server.
Huh.
I use Pi Radio, and I stream that via Butt to Icecast.
Holy shit, Dynabolic is still around.
Yeah. They had a release a couple weeks ago, I think, or earlier this year.
Great.
He likes Butt with his unsweetened meat.
You ever installed Debian Herd?
No, I have not. That's not still being developed, is it?
I, you know what? I think they dropped it, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I read a few years ago that they were dropping it. Well, who knows?
What, Herd?
Ay, ay, ay. What are you going to do?
Eat chocolate next week.
It's too bad that the town don't smell like chocolate anymore, right?
Yeah, it surely don't, man. Not like it used to.
They don't still have a factory there?
So you're going to be in Hershey, and Dave's going to be in... Wait, where are you going again?
St. Augustine, but it's just a week after Joel.
Yeah, and then I'll be... Dave.
Dave.
What are you going to do?
Stallman has cancer. Did you guys know that?
Yep.
What kind of cancer?
I forgot.
Thyroid, I think.
Oh, that's sad.
Let me see. Oh, I'm sorry. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, there's a picture from last September of him with no hair.
That is a bummer. How's he doing?
That's the last thing I heard, I saw about him.
Oh, that is a bummer. All right, Dave.
No. I like sweet meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like heat.
You like that one?
No, I don't like any of those. I like sweet meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like heat.
That's great.
No, it's the opposite of great.
Oh.
It's a juxtaposition.
Good God, Dave.
Dan, I tried that, the Cheez-It Tostada from Taco Bell.
How was it? Wait, what makes a Cheez-It? Is it?
It's on a big Cheez-It.
Really?
Yep.
Is it good?
It's okay.
What was this at?
Taco Bell.
Yeah, I read about that, or I heard about it, but.
It, at least with the tostada, you can taste the Cheez-It, but with the Crunchwrap, you can't. I couldn't anyway.
Wait. They have it in a, oh, so I guess they put it in the center of the Crunchwrap, right? Is that what they do? Hello?
Yep. I get that one again. I get the tostada again, not the Crunchwrap. That was kind of weird.
I don't know, man. I like Cheez-Its. I do. They're kind of addicting.
Oh, I love Cheez-Its.
There you go, Dave. Something besides the Bean Burrito now.
Bean Burrito.
Yeah, I can't get Cheez-Its anymore. I will wreck the whole bag.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say... You either wreck the whole bag or you get hellacious heartburn.
They don't do that to me, but yeah, I'll wreck the whole bag. But my youngest daughter, she switches between Goldfish and Cheez-Its, and to me, they're two completely, they couldn't be more different. Goldfish just are awful. They taste burnt.
They taste bland to me.
Yeah, they're not Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its and better cheddars. I will wreck a whole box of better cheddars.
I like the spicy Cheez-Its. Those are good.
I didn't know they made spicy Cheez-Its.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
Oh, all kinds of flavors.
I guess we got to play this out. So... Next week, we're not going to do a show, right? Because
Buffalo Cheez-Its are great.
Fourth of July?
Yeah, I won't be here.
Yep.
Joel won't be here. You're not going to be here, Joe, are you?
Unlikely.
You what?
Nope.
All right, we'll skip next week. That'll be easier.
Yeah,
I'll skip next week.
Yeah, we'll skip next week. We'll come back
last or
the week after when
fireworks.
Dave's not here.
Yep.
So we won't see you for 2 weeks, Dave. 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Three weeks.
3 weeks.
Right. Well, you have a safe trip, Dave. And you have a safe trip, Joel.
I will.
And you're not going anywhere, right, Joel?
I'm staying home.
You just stay home. Just have a safe time.
In the heat.
Don't lock out your legs.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to play this out. Here we go.
I am short.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
I'd watch Sweet Meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mind. I like it.
You were making it from there in the kitchen. It's
Sweet Meat.
Oh, my God.
I should have known better.
Yeah,
that Sweet, Sweet Meat.
You know what? If you wouldn't have said anything, Dave, you could have just said it, and I would have just. But then, yeah, you had to push it.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Well, I figured it was. You know, once I said it, I in the back of my mind, it was like this is gonna happen.
This is bad. You got to replace all those peg wall clips.
Yeah. Oh wait, let me see. What do we have here? I'm thinking. Does this work?
All right, I'm out of here. I'm gonna put Mentor on this fucker now.
And then wait. Here we go.
You were making it poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I'd watch Sweet Meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like
not
meat.
Good.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
There we go. This just gets us like, I don't know.
That was terrible. Great. It was great. It's funny. Alright, see you guys in a week or so.
Have a good one.
See ya.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know what it was? Is that I was, I think it was Monday. There's no excuse for me not having rebooted, obviously. But I think it was Monday. I was down here working out and what I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't think it was anything other than your voice in my head saying I should update. So I was
I should reboot, but I've not rebooted yet.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? What am I waiting for? Right? I should just update.
But how many machines did you update? Just one?
Well, I've updated two.
Okay.
My two main machines. Well, I keep my other servers and stuff up to date pretty regularly.
Okay.
On my desktop. And I ran into a problem right off the get-go that it was complaining that it couldn't update something because, Electron 25 required this version. And I was like, well.
See, I think I ran into that like months ago.
Yeah. So what it was, I mean, it was really easy.
Yeah.
The thing was, and stupid me, like, so I installed standard notes from the AUR repository, and that had a dependency of Electron 25, which had a dependency of a library that wanted to be updated. And so I removed standard notes and Electron, and then everything installed fine. And then I just reinstalled standard notes and, and that was it.
I can't remember what app I had that relied on a version of Electron I had to uninstall just like you did, but I can't remember what it was. It wasn't standard notes, it was something else. But.
Yeah, and it was like really simple.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how fast it just, everything updated. You know, I expected it to take a long time, but I was like, it was finished before I finished my workout, and I was like, well, you know what, all you need to do now is reboot. And then I went upstairs and never rebooted. but, you know, there we are. So, not a big deal.
Well, the uptime on my laptop is 28 days without a reboot. And the server is, the main server that needs rebooting is 28 days. It's been a while since I rebooted.
Yeah, I'm up 85 days without a reboot on this thing. You know what is?
Well, the fact both of mine are 28
is,
days.
Is there a command to see power, that?
A power
uptime.
Yeah.
Okay, let me check. Uptime. 4 days.
Okay. Well, this other server, my, what server? I guess my Plex, not my Plex server. Yeah, this is my Plex server's been up 77 days. But my web server's only been up 28.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. It is, why is this? Oh, duh. I think I need to do this. Don't I? Wait, what? Why is this? This thing's such a pain in my ass. Why won't this? Wait, maybe I need to do. Alright, let's see. I'm gonna restart this. What was I gonna say? I gotta replace this laptop. This thing is showing its age. It works fine when it's
ancient.
Yeah, it's kind of old. It's gosh, I don't even know what it is. It's so old. It's an Asus. I'll look at the model when I get. Why is this not connecting? I didn't upgrade this thing. Oh, I'm pulling. Wait, what am I, why is this thing, huh, that's weird. It's like it's muted almost, but it's not muted, and I'm pulling out the wrong thing. What does this go into? Oh no, this does go into this. Yeah, so... There we go. You know, I'm just gonna reboot this thing. Kind of a pain in my ass is what it is. Not the main one that I updated, Dave. I didn't update this one yet. I'm gonna try one more time. One more time. Come on. Give me the magic. There we go.
Ah, there we go. That was it. That's all I needed to do. Wait, why didn't I hear anything? Pain in my ass.
So you got her pregnant, huh?
There we go. Now everybody's pregnant. No, what I was going to say is, you know, it is such a joy that the upgrade process pretty much works without a problem. You know, yeah. I haven't had serious problems in, I can't remember how far back. The one time I had a serious problem was when I removed glibc, and that screwed everything up, as you would guess. But the flip side to that is my work laptop is constantly telling me it needs to restart to install an update. And I close all my applications and click restart, and it doesn't do anything. And so I'm left there wondering, what's going on? Is it working? Is something hanging it up? And it just doesn't do anything. And then I'm like, okay, so then I just go back to working. And then the next day it's like, you need to restart to install updates. So I click okay, restart install updates, and it doesn't do anything. So then I restart it and it doesn't do anything. And then I go into the update manager and there's no updates there. And then it tells me the next day that it needs to restart to do an update. And so I don't have any deferrals left. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And I click okay. And then it's just this constant cycle of bullshit. I don't know why it can't update whatever it needs to do.
Now, what OS is this? When does?
No, it's OS 10.
Okay.
But you know what it is? I think the problem is that IT gatekeeps the updates and they push it through their software that they have. Does it start with a J? I know they have they used to have Casper on there that monitored the system, and I want to say it's like Jinx or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of thing that all updates, and technically you're supposed to install software only through their, you know, their self service installation, but nobody bothers with that. Because if you do, the problem is if you do, like, you get this outdated version of, say, Firefox. And it's not the latest Firefox. And then Firefox is like, there's a new version. Do you want to update? And if you update Firefox, and the same thing with Chrome, if you update it to the new version, but it's not the version that is installed through the self-service, then the next day self-service says there's a new version of whatever it is that you installed, and you go to install it and it just reverts it back to the previous version. Like it's an older version. And then it's like, oh, there's a new version. And you end up in this endless cycle of there's a new version and it gets updated, and then the self-service comes back in and reverts it back to a previous version. It's so annoying. Like, why? Why? Why bother? Like, yeah. Really? What are you preventing? Like, what are you protecting us from? What do you prevent? The only thing that you're doing is like, well, we have invented it to work with all our applications. What applications? I don't know what applications that they're talking about. Never once have I looked at this piece of installed software and said, you know, I just don't understand why IT didn't prevent me from installing it, because it's not working with this other application. Right? Like, when did I ever have that problem? Never. And Joe's over there like, I don't want users installing their own software. Right? Right, Joe?
That is absolutely correct. If they want software installed, I'm going to have to install it for them.
Now, I get it. I do get it. Because, I mean, on the one hand, you have, like, people that I work with who are like, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z, and we know how to pull together the software to do it. And then you have that other person where you, that's the result of, hey, we got to do a training every 6 months to not click an attachment that is sent to you by the boss of the company who says, open this and then verify your password and social security number for me. Right? Okay, why not? You know, we'll do it because it came from the boss of the company. Right?
Social security number, your mother's maiden name, your date of birth, place of birth. This is all standard stuff, you know. You should be answering that every time you install anything on your computer.
I just put it in my signature on my email.
Right?
You know how you solve your email problems, Dave?
How's that?
You just don't use email anymore.
What?
I just don't. I don't. At work, I never look at my email. They're like, well, somebody, you know, it was sent to you in your email. Well, I never look at my email.
Really?
Yeah, I never do. I have like 12,000 emails in my inbox, I would say.
How old are you? You sound like a millennial or something.
11,900 of them are unread.
Golly.
Yeah, because nobody, like, the people that I communicate with, we don't communicate via email. You know,
yeah,
I haven't communicated with people via email in like.
I can understand the appeal on that. I mean, I get so many emails every day, just thousands of work emails, but you know, I only need to respond to like 5 or 10% of them, so I have my rules in place, and if it is directly to me as opposed to one of the groups I'm in, then yeah, I'll look at it.
Now, I'll be honest, occasionally, maybe once a week, I'll glance at it. But when I do, it's just, what I have to do is I have to keep an eye out, like, once a month for the company meeting, which I don't know what the hell is wrong with the company. The town hall meetings. I don't know who is putting this fucking shit together, right? But like every year the company comes along and they're like, why can't you guys use Teams, Microsoft Teams, instead of Zoom? You should use Microsoft Teams. We pay for it, we should use it. And everybody's like, we don't like Teams. We want to use Zoom, right? But then the company turns around and they send out the town hall, which is a Zoom link. And on top of that, for some reason, they can't send it out in a calendar invite. They have to send it out in an email. And I'm like, why the hell can't you just send a calendar invite to everybody so it appears on my calendar so I know when it is? Because I don't look at my email. I do look at my calendar. That's the only reason I have Outlook open, is for the calendar. So I know who's off that day. Right, Dave?
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with my calendar.
Your work calendar, or is that the only calendar?
My
you
work
keep?
Calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong? Why do you hate it?
Because, like, I look at like either a Tuesday or a Thursday, and I'm basically triple booked for every hour of the workday.
Okay.
And I have to go through and, you know, prioritize. But once everything is prioritized and, you know, I'm down to that whole one meeting and it's taking up my full workday, I don't get any more requests. But it has been like a rough week because we got a new managing director. So that's my boss's boss's boss. And he's been in town all week. So.
To say hi to you?
Yeah, to say hi to me specifically. Yeah, we did have a one-on-one plus several other group meetings. It's
it was interesting because, you know, I mentioned something casually to him that we were trying to work on, and he kind of, I don't want to say went off the rails, but it escalated quickly. And so I've had three or four other meetings with my boss and his boss based on this. And then I have one more meeting on it tomorrow with one of the lead developers on why we're doing very specific manual tasks. But hey, at least we were already in the process of fixing it. No, he hated the fact that we were doing manual tasks and have been doing it for a while and cannot get assistance with clearing it out. It's something that should have been automated a long time ago, and, well, they haven't really given us a clear path on how to do it. So now, either they're going to fix it, or according to my manager, we now have a place where we can actually write some scripts and have them put into production to automate it ourselves. So I will be getting better at Python again.
Yeah.
But because of the current political climate, we're going into a long era of freezes, the debate coming up and all that jazz. So there has been a flurry of sudden releases, unplanned releases. And so I've been working from like 7 a.m. to either 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. almost every day. And I'm tired of it.
You know, we got to start the show. Here we are complaining about stuff. We could be doing the show. This is episode
1058.
Is it, Dave? Can I trust you?
Yeah, I think
so. Or should I verify?
Verify. Trust but verify.
Not wrong.
Is that so?
Trust but verify.
When did I? Yes, it is 1058. You are right, sir. Why would I not believe you?
I don't know.
All right, here we go.